Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. In a perfect world, marriages begin and end in blissful happiness, but all of us bring baggage into our relationships, and those pasts can do great damage when they're uncovered after we're pronounced man and wife. Today, how to face those pasts and move beyond them. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues a series on the marriage puzzle, why commitment can do what love can't. Listen now as we hear a crucial message on moving beyond your past.
There are many marriages, and the divorce that those marriages experience already begins to take place before the wedding. Just like cracks on the tire of a car, where you can predict a blowout, in the very same way, there are marriages that begin and you already know that the pieces are in place for conflict and probably eventually divorce. That's why I preached the last message on red flags you might have missed. But one of the red flags that I didn't talk about, and we will talk about today, is the red flag of the past that the couple has had, that the individuals bring to the relationship. And if you don't know how to deal with your past, whatever that past may encompass, what you will do is bring to the marriage a body of death, and it will be as if death accompanies you for all the days that you are together. It will always be there. And that is true if you are married, and of course it is also true of your relationships if you are single. That's why this message is so important for you as well. I need to tell you up front that some of the things I'm going to share with you today are going to be very difficult for some of you to receive. As a matter of fact, for some of you, this message will be something like having surgery without an anesthetic. It's going to be very painful. Some of you are going to react to what I have to say. You may even disagree. You may justify yourself and say he doesn't understand. But I believe that I do understand, not of course all situations. I'm simply saying that in context, you'll accept these remarks as necessary to have a happy marriage. I believe so deeply in this message, it is seldom that God begins to birth all of this burden in my heart early in the week. And yet that's the way this message has been. It has been in my soul Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I could hardly wait until Sunday. This could be a game changer for many of you. But in order that you might not just hear my word, because you can do that as you wish, you can take it or you can leave it, you need to hear the voice of God. Because some of the things that I'm going to be saying, you will not see unless God shows them to you. It's not my message that will do it. And it's not as if this message is the beginning and end of all that you need to know about a happy marriage. It is only one piece along the journey, and we all need to hear it. And so this is what I would like to do, knowing that this may be a tough 30 minutes. If you as a husband are here today and you are sitting next to your wife, could I ask you to take her hand? I want you to take her hand because we're going to pray, and I want you as a husband to pray quietly in your heart that as a result of this message, your good marriage will be better and your bad marriage will be made good. Let's bow together in prayer. Now, Father, who is sufficient for these things? Who can hear what we have to say? Who can understand the pain that some people will feel and the discomfort over what will be said? And yet, Lord, we thank you that you always cut us, that you might heal us. You wound us not to destroy us, but to heal us so that we can be better used by you. We ask that whatever preconceptions are brought to this, that you might indeed help those to be put aside as we hear not my voice, which is powerless, but the voice of Almighty God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What are some of those pasts that people bring to their marriage? Well, of course, one of the most obvious is the past of expectations. That is to say, if you're brought up in a certain home and your father acted in such a way, or you didn't have a father and you didn't know how father should act, you have a certain image in your mind as to how your husband is going to act, how your wife is going to act, and you suddenly discover different backgrounds, different aspirations, different expectations, and certainly unrealistic expectations is one of the disappointments of marriage. People come to marriage expecting marriage to do only what God can. And so they're disappointed 3 months or a year into the relationship. But let me hurry on to something that is even more difficult that we bring to our marriages, and that is the baggage of the past, the wounds that other people have inflicted on us. Today I'm speaking to some of you who are brought up in a home where there was alcoholism and your father beat you. And as a result of that kind of experience, you have certain expectations, certain feelings about men, certain feelings about life, and you bring to the marriage a very open wound. Some of you have been sexually molested. If it's true that one out of every four children, one out of every four girls born is going to be molested, then the number of women who have experienced sexual abuse of some kind at the hand of someone else is huge. Obviously, hundreds are probably listening to me right now. If you don't know how to take care of that, what will happen is you will bring to your marriage an open wound. And when you marry, you're going to be saying to your spouse, in effect, I want you to heal me. Heal my wound, but don't you dare touch that wound. Because if you touch it, not only will I holler, not only will I criticize you, but eventually I will divorce you to find someone who can really understand me, who can really heal my wound. And so what you are doing is you're putting up a situation and you're asking your mate to do something that no mate can do. He can help, she can help, but in the end it's something that only God can do, and your expectations are too high. And if you remain wounded and the wound remains open, you will set up circumstances in such a way that your mate will never please you. If I might use the illustration, a man might think to himself, I finally have my wife figured out. I finally know what will please her. And he does that, and he discovers that even if he can't win a touchdown, at least he can kick a field goal. But while the ball is in the air, the goalposts move. And he discovers that that's not the right thing anyway. And again, you're back to square one. So we bring to it the wounds that others have afflicted on us. The second thing we bring to marriage, actually it's the third, it's the unrealistic expectations, our wounds inflicted on us, and that is the sins that we personally have committed, our poor choices, as it is called today, our sins. Of course, I could speak of many, but because sexuality is such a great part of us, I'm going to speak about sexual sin. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, it gives us more information there regarding the sexual experience than all the books that have ever been written by human philosophers. The Bible says that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her. Now just think about that. Here's a relationship that is not based on love. It is lust for money. It is the most debased sexual relationship you could think of. And God says, I put them together and they become one body. Metaphysically, they are joined. The intention of God, of course, is that you be joined to the one that you marry, and that you be joined after you marry her or him, and therefore you have this unique relationship. But according to a book I read yesterday, only 20% of those in our churches, the evangelical churches in America, only 20% come to the altar with both being virgins. So what you have is a situation in which This young man has been joined to this woman, this woman, this woman, this girl, and she perhaps has been joined to all these guys. And now they come together and we expect them to live happily ever after, and we've not really dealt with their past in a very satisfying way. And as a result of that, there is a tendency to promiscuity that will develop later on once the marriage becomes an average marriage, maybe even a boring marriage. But also what is going to happen is young people like that find it very difficult to commit. They can't commit because they can't trust themselves. Like one man said, I've had so many relationships, I can't commit, I can't imagine. He said, I'd like to be true to one person, but I don't see how I can. And so what you bring is all of that baggage, enough to fill a Pullman freight car. And now suddenly, you're supposed to be happy. When there's a little bit of you left with this person, and a little bit with this person, and a little bit with that, and here you are. By the way, parenthesis, never get married to someone with whom you're having an active sexual relationship. If you want to be married, live apart for at least 6 months. We have that rule here at the Moody Church as pastors, so that you can prove that there is something more to this relationship than trying to take a defiled bed and turn it into an undefiled one. But this is brought to our marriages today. So what do we do? I'm so glad you asked, because that's exactly the same page that I'm on. First of all, it is so important for us to take responsibility, to take responsibility. You have to own your stuff, as the saying goes. My friend, do you know why Running to Win exists? You know, the byline is helping people make it across the finish line. And of course, what we want to do is to invite people to begin the race, to receive Jesus Christ as Savior, and then trust Him and be faithful no matter what God brings into their lives, helping them with their past and also helping them with their future. I hold in my hand someone who wrote to us and thanked us for our series on spiritual warfare. This person explains that Satan had come to them in many different ways, and as a result of the ministry, they had been able to close those doors in their lives that were being used by the devil to destroy them. And certainly today, the devil is using all kinds of doorways to destroy marriages. Would you help us get this message to many people? We need partners like you. Some of you may have listened to Running to Win for years and you've never connected with us. How about going to moodymedia.org? That's moodymedia.org. And while you're there, you can, of course, browse the various ministries and opportunities, but also click on Endurance Partners. To become an Endurance Partner, that means that you stand with us regularly with your gifts, with your prayers. In effect, you become a part of the Running to Win family, helping others make it across the finish line.
Erwin Lutzer and Moving Beyond Your Past, the second in a series on the marriage puzzle. Next time, more on accepting responsibility. The Marriage Puzzle Series can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.